Thank you so much for joining us again today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Paul and Joan Seeger have been sharing with us the last few days about life changes, and they were in church planting in South Africa after both of them having grown up on the mission field. And Paul, you were saying that that third church that you and Joan were in the process of planting, the Lord began to give you an uneasiness. Were there any Bible verses maybe that the Lord used to help you to understand there might be something else?
There wasn't any one specific scripture that sort of just jumped out at me, but mm-hmm. it was just the general, first of all, commitment to whatever God had us to do.
Right.
The love of the ministry, but realizing that maybe this wasn't all that God would have me to do. Maybe I could do something different or more.
Right.
And so it wasn't a particular crisis point at all. It was mm-hmm. just a general mm-hmm. growing uneasiness saying, you know what, I've done this. I know if you do this, this, and this, a church comes out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it was almost to the place where, not a boredom, that may be too strong a word, but a realization that, you know, I can do this, but maybe wanting a larger challenge.
Yeah. Now, Joan, were you already thinking of something along that line, or was this kind of a surprise to you when he mentioned it?
Well, it wasn't a surprise to me. I could see it in him. I could see that he had the abilities to do other things.
Right.
As far as organization, administration.
Yes, uh-huh.
In ministry.
Giftedness, so, I guess you could say.
Right. That, yeah. That'd be a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it did cause me to do was to slow down, to listen carefully,
mm-hmm.
not to just to go about what I was normally doing in ministry, but just to be aware.
Okay.
Is there something else? Is the Lord trying to get our attention?
Okay.
Not that I wanted to make any changes.
And the children were how old at this point?
Ryan was almost finished high school, and our daughter Joanna still had high school to go.
Okay, okay.
So it was a very difficult time in their life for them to make a move.
That's my direction. That's often something that you have to take into consideration, isn't it? Where are our children at this time in their lives? Is this something that they would be open to? So share with me how you shared it with them. Did you wait until you were settled on it and it was a done deal, or did you ask them to pray with you about it while you were still praying? How did that work?
We always made decisions about our next move together as a family, talking very openly about it.
Uh-huh.
One of the idiosyncrasies, I guess, of missions is this, that it is totally encompassing the whole family. You know, you can get a job as a doctor or a lawyer, and you hire the man.
Yeah.
And maybe to a certain extent, certain ministries here in the States, you know, we hire a pastor, but not necessarily his family.
Mm-hmm.
But in missions, it has to be different because it affects the whole family. And so we were very careful to walk through all of this, and we made it jointly as a family. But when we actually had to do it, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't easy.
Right.
You know, we were okay with making the decision together, but probably our kids, it was the hardest hit on them.
Right.
Because I was going to a ministry, but it was radical life change for them and for Joan.
Now, had you sent them away to boarding school?
We were in a city, and the government schools were very high quality in their
okay.
standard of
okay.
education.
Uh-huh.
And so they went to public schools throughout their whole time.
Okay.
As we made that decision, our whole family made that decision to move back to the States, and there were a lot of details that went into that, but we made that decision with our head. We knew it was the right thing.
Not your heart.
Not our heart.
Uh-huh.
It took our heart 2 or 3 years to catch up to the decision that our head had already made.
So, Paul, you go into work at the mission office, and they look at you like, yeah. Yeah, this is where you are. I know it's not where you want to be, but this is where you are. You're going, yeah, right.
But, you know, God just put this in my heart, and I just love what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
And as I look
yeah.
back over what he did to prepare me for this, it was really mm-hmm. my life work.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm wired to do.
Right, right. And isn't it neat to see how God prepares you for the next step before you make the next step?
It sure is.
It's kind of like the Apostle Paul said that God called him into the ministry and then did the enabling for that next step, for that next ministry work. Tell us exactly then what God is using you folks to do then, right now.
Well, a mission organization basically is a tool that a local church like yours can use to get missionaries to the field.
Right.
So we really do a lot of the backroom stuff that is maybe not so glamorous, mm-hmm. but is necessary to get a missionary to the field, to keep them there. Everything from vetting them, getting them ready, doing the training, providing support systems, receding, a lot of the administrative stuff, as well as the encouraging and the supervision on the field. So my role is basically to keep this organization moving forward okay. and providing those services well. And a major portion of that is also mobilizing people to the field, or at least sharing with people the needs that exist around the world to see if we can get more people out there.
And that would be done in local churches and Bible colleges and seminaries.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we're just always on the lookout for people that potentially could be missionaries.
Okay.
Though we recognize it's the local church that sends them. We're just a tool in the hand of the local church to maybe help them understand where they could go and do some of the practical side of getting them there.
Now, Joan, what's your part in that ministry?
We really try to make Biblical Ministries Worldwide more of a family organization as opposed to an institution. We both grew up in institutions. We grew up in boarding schools.
Yeah,
we grew up in mission agencies that were institutional. And so what I bring to the table is probably the heart of the mission. We try to build relationships with the women and the children. I raise funds for projects to do for missionary children.
Okay.
We travel to the field. I'm very involved with the women in counseling and encouraging
and with
the children.
Very important.
They'll talk to a woman. We all travel. All the area directors' wives travel with our husbands to the fields,
Wonderful.
Which is unusual.
Yes.
We spend a lot of time just one-on-one. It's all one-on-one.
Yeah.
Just helping them, encouraging them, equipping them. And we're now seeing a lot of, you know, second-generation missionary kids coming back through,
right.
which is our goal. That's our aim.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's just
yeah.
the cherry on the top when we see those missionary kids
exactly.
come back through. So, yeah, we love missionary kids. We were missionary kids. We had missionary kids. We understand missionary kids.
Yeah.
And so we really try to build a family atmosphere whenever they're at the office and whenever we meet them on the field. We're co-workers. We're
right.
not above them as leaders.
Right. My 38 years as a senior pastor enabled me to visit many, many missionaries around the world. And just about every trip, I would take my wife with me.
So important.
I read a magazine article some years ago that was talking about the importance of a pastor's wife going on mission trips. At the end of the article, it said, "And if your church has enough money, go ahead and send a pastor, too."
I like that.
Yeah, we at one time were debating, because of budget, whether or not to send the wives. And so we sort of polled our mission family, and we sort of got that response. They said, you know, send the wife and tell the guy to stay home.
That's right. That's right. We know what he's going to say. Our wives need the help.
Exactly. You
know? We personally made a two-week visit with one of our missionaries that our church had sent out, and at the end of the time, they sat down and shared with us that they were planning on leaving the mission field after our visit. They were going to go home. They were going to be done. But they said, as a result of your time, especially your wife's time with my wife, she has recalibrated and gotten a new vision and new approach of how to deal with other situations that were just grading her the wrong way. And she said, we're going to stay.
There's a lot of studies that have been made on missionary attrition. In other words, why missionaries leave the field.
Yeah.
And normally in the top three is going to be family.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, family is normally one of the top three reasons why someone's leaving the field.
Right.
And so that is so critical to support the entire family, to make sure that both the children and the wife are there. Because it's easy for us guys. We just go out and do our stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole family is engaged and
right.
has to be well-adjusted and happy and committed.
Yeah. Numbers of years ago, I was pastoring in Georgia, and Tom Farrell contacted me, an evangelist, and said, I'm taking a couple guys to the Philippines. Are you interested in going? We'll have a citywide campaign, and then we'll split up and go to the various islands, and we'll preach meetings all over the place. I said, man, I'm on, you know. And so what a blessing it was. That's one of the trips that just five guys went on. But as we were leaving, one of the pastors came to me and said, look, you can see that we can start churches. We got a goal of 200 churches, you know, in the next 10 years. But we're losing our kids. And you preach some messages on the family and the home. Would you and your wife be willing to come back and just train the pastors and their wives on parenting? And that was just an awesome trip. Ruth and I just felt like that was the finger of God saying, this is a need, because if you're losing your kids, you're going to lose your ministry. You know, and so what a privilege we had of going back for a couple of weeks and having a very special ministry with them. So as you consider what God is enabling you to do now, it's a lot of traveling, isn't it?
We spend about half of the year on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it here in the States. There are other men that go overseas and
right.
assist missionaries.
Right.
But we try to get overseas every once in a while, just stay in touch with what's really mm-hmm. happening in the front mm-hmm. lines. But it's just working here in the States, trying to encourage people and help train people and
right.
mobilize the next generation.
Do you have opportunities to preach quite often?
Well, yeah. It seems like almost every weekend I'm out. That's
okay.
part of the travel.
Right. And you have how many missionary units?
There's about 500 of us as missionaries, counting husbands and wives, and counting some of us that are working here in the States that are just overhead. But
right.
about 500 of us.
Okay. And what do you say is an important characteristic of a local church that seems to be effective in having folks come out of their church and go to the mission field?
It probably starts with the leadership. If the leadership has a passion for this,
mm-hmm.
and this is obvious here at this church with Pastor Keltner and you,
yeah.
that missions is a big deal, where you say this is the most important event of the year.
Right.
And just that attitude and spirit. We were here only a few minutes before that started shining like neon lights to us.
Okay.
That was there. And that probably is the key or the most important thing
mm-hmm.
is that you have to have that heart and passion for it. If you don't have a passion for it and it's not part of the leadership DNA,
yeah.
it's going to be very difficult to get the whole church on board. So that really is a starting point. After right. that, then you just have to think through how do we actually encourage this in the DNA and the
mm-hmm.
programming of the church
mm-hmm.
to equip people to think in terms of this, and how do we get them from here to there?
Right.
It's very obvious when you walk into a church, because we're in so many different churches, if the people actually love God and love people.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They say they love God and they say they love people, but
yeah,
you
yeah.
can really see in how people act and the actions, their attitudes, they really do love people here.
Yeah.
And that's so encouraging. So it's getting people involved just in day-to-day witnessing, day-to-day ministry, one-on-one in your particular church.
Mm-hmm,
and then once
mm-hmm.
the Lord speaks to them about missions, it's an easy transition because they're already involved in doing it right here.
So if you're blooming where you're planted, then it's easier to be replanted.
That's a
transplanted.
Good point.
Yeah. And so, folks, as you're listening to the wrap-up of the Seeker's ministry to us, our prayer is that you will have folks, and you will be people yourselves who are blooming right there in your local church, right there doing what's necessary to reach people for Christ, to love people out on the streets and in your businesses and in your schools, and love people when they come in your doors, and just sharing the love of Christ. Because when you are doing that, God sees a church that starts at home, not only goes around the world, but goes around the corner. May God bless you in your reaching for Him.